You know what, Rob?
What's up?
I wanted to ask you this the other day. Superman or Daredevil?
See, here's the thing, dog. Like, if Superman was smarter, he would be Daredevil. Because think about it. Like, Superman is like this 6'3", 220 dude that's a reporter. Like, how many 6'3", 220 cats or prototypical quarterbacks you looking at are going to be like reporters, just like regular niggas that work at Foot Locker? Like, Daredevil is blind. But Daredevil has the ability to see through sonar and all that. Y'all know the jazz. But look, and nobody would ever think he's a superhero. Nobody would ever think that he was Daredevil. Matt Murdock could basically live his life, be a blind dude all the time. But Superman is like, oh man, look at this guy that looks so much like this Pacific reporter that was just here 2 seconds ago. Like, Metropolis dumb as hell. Like, I don't know what other way to put it. Cause like, they gotta be as blind as that mother, as Daredevil. Shit. Just without the sonar.
So what you're saying is, if Superman was smarter, he'd be Daredevil.
At least in a wheelchair or something. Like, he'd have some kind of, you know, conspicuousness-icity that basically you would never assume that that dude is, you know, this power of 10,000 suns motherfucker. Like, you walk into Foot Action, it's a 6'8", 375 motherfucker. You're going to be like, why are you here? Why aren't you on the Bills offensive line? Why are you, like, what are you doing with your life that you want to basically give me size 10s instead of basically saying, hey, I'm about to be pulling, you know, so Josh Allen could get his way in? Like, that, like, what are you doing? Why are you wasting your time? And now, and look, I don't want to offend anybody that's 6'8", 375 that's working at Foot Action. That's you. That's your job. That's your gig. Love it. Live it. But I'm just saying there's better. There could be better.
I don't know. But look, today on this show, We talking about the AL West. We going straight to the AL West. And we're going to talk AL Central, WWE, the NBA. And we got to talk NBA Joker, 30-20, LeBron making his son look crazy now. And all of that today. Bruh Migos podcast. What I need them to do, Rob?
The music. What's good, though?
All right. Today, as always, like we told the people, we're going to start covering baseball. Today, we're going to cover two. We're going to cover AL West and AL Central preview. And what you want to do? You want to start with the AL West?
Yeah, and I want to start, first and foremost, to say a good, genuine fuck you to somebody. So, if I may oblige.
Who you got to tell that to, bro?
John Fisher. The owner of the now not Oakland A's, they're just the Athletics. So now they're just the A's. Oakland is basically gone from their name, but not gone from our hearts. I'm not from Oakland. I'm not from there, but I know there's a lot of history there. And we've talked about John Fisher on the show, but I probably got his name. But fuck him. Who cares? They have talent there. Basically, it's going to be playing in Sacramento in a motherfucking minor league park. But the thing about it is they shouldn't be. They should be in the Coliseum. They should be something better. And I know Oakland, I've heard Oakland politics is also a mixed bag too. But they got so many people. They just signed. They went and got Jeffrey Springs. They went and got Luis Severino. You know, they trying to go get spots at people. They just extended Lawrence Butler, who's supposed to be like one of the new cats. JJ Blade is there. You know, like Brett Rooker, the Aussie. He's right there, man. Like, they have talent that the people would actually want to see now. But his cheap ass wanted to be such a cheap ass and basically not put anything. But all of a sudden, I got to spend. And then basically just overpaying for Luis Severino, Jeffrey Springs. But like, I'm just saying, like, fuck him. Fuck everything about him. Hope he rots. He ain't going to get a Vegas deal done. Shit's not going to happen. There will probably never be the Las Vegas A's. You can get that out your mind frame. Get that out your main frame. But I'm just saying, fuck John Fisher. Period.
And Rob feels, and trust me, I've known this man for years. I feel like he's standing on business about that right now. I've known this man for years. I feel like he, but like I told you before, whenever we discussed the A's, I got faith in their young talent that they could turn it around. And I hope that they have to stay in Oakland. I don't want them to migrate to Vegas. Like, Vegas, look, beautiful place, land of all kind of gambling shit. You know, yeah, well, yeah, it is kind of overrated.
For me, I'm not a big fan of Vegas.
But I can agree.
It's not my dig.
But my thing is, I don't want everybody migrating away from where they were to Vegas now. Like, I understand the attraction of being in Vegas. Like, I truly do. I see the Sphere. I know, you know, you could do magic shows. You catch people who are out there. You know, they on they residencies and shit like that.
Mm-hmm.
I want Vegas to stay a gambling town. All right, I'm not against watching sports out there. Let's be fair. Let's be fair. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna be objective. I'm not against watching sports out there, but I just don't want teams like that venturing away. You know,
with so much history in that team, with all these greats that's played for that team, it's like, nah, man, it's like that. He down bad for that kind of shit, and he's been fumbling this bag the whole way.
Like, I understand so his business acumen of what he wants to do. Just don't go to Vegas, though. Make it happen in Oakland. Make it happen.
Right. Go home. Go home. Go with your family. Like, they're pegging out here. All that kind of shit, yo. Y'all say Solomon, Missouri thread. Shout out to Solomon, Missouri from Twitter. You know, like, you know, like, you go home, all right? You ain't got the cholesterol to be out here trying to do whatever it is that you're doing. Nah, go home, all right? Go to Oakland.
So now, speaking on the A's, there's speaking about the A's, there's a team also with an A that's lower than where the Athletics finish.
Look at
and
that
that's
transition.
The Angels. And I saw, dog, that you were like, it's time to mount the Trout on the wall.
He's about done. Like, Mike Trout has been basically one of the best players in our lifetime. Like, basically everything that we say, like with Ohtani, he was also a generational talent that was on that team. Only went to one playoff and basically didn't do much in that. But nah, man, Mike Trout's back has basically been hanging on by grandma's prayers and bubblegum. Like, that we need to basically think of ourselves as not having Mike Trout as a member of Major League Baseball as an active player, and just think of him as future Hall of Famer, future first ballot Hall of Famer, better be first ballot Hall of Famer guy that basically, you know, is one of the best of our time. But the rest of the A's, like, they have talent. They went and got Jorge Soler. I like Logan O'Hope. I like Ben Joyce. I like certain players from that team. But overall, they're a team that just don't really have anything that you could basically be fearful of. They're going to be an all right team. They're going to be the fourth seed in this team with that they always are, even when they had Shohei and Trout. But, like, yeah, this team is just, it's very okay. But it's a team that you don't need to have any faith in. Nice jerseys, though. I do like their City Connects, but no faith.
And like Anaheim. I'm elaborate and say one other thing before we go to the next team. I don't even think that they're going to be the fourth in the West. I think that they're going to be last again. I think they're going to be last again, bro.
Nah, you're right.
I think Oakland is going, because Oakland beat them by like six games last year. I think Oakland probably beats them again. And maybe even go up to a little bit further, because they only got to catch the Rangers. The Rangers was at 78. They were at 69. It's possible for them to catch them possibly and win 70, close to 80 games. Oakland, I have faith in your team, bro. I like a lot of your young talent. I really do.
The team formerly known as Oakland, you know, like that, like they do have a much better team than the A's. We're going to see. But yeah, I do like Anaheim. Anaheim's a nice city. Love visiting there, going to Disneyland and shit. Like, it actually is nice.
I just don't love the construction of this team right now.
They're not set to win. They're not set to really do much of anything. So yeah, we can move on very quickly to another team that's in the Great Northwest, the Seattle Mariners. I like them. Now the news with George Kirby is not great. They shut him down for a foreseeable future. The rest of that rotation, I think, is really good with Brian Wu, Luis Castillo, Logan Gilbert, and what's his name? Shit, lost the name. But either way, Gilbert.
You're not talking about Brian Wu, are you? Brian Wu?
No, I said Wu. Brian Wu. Either way, they have a very nice rotation. Got a great closer in Andres Munoz.
Emerson Hand Penis. Hancock. That was the joke I used to make about it.
Actually, I was thinking of Bryce Miller. Close. Hand Penis probably is going to be good in that rotation as the substitute for George Kirby for a while. So, but no, they're gonna be all right. It's like I kind of see them as the Spider-Man meme between them and the Pirates. Great rotation, even though they don't have a great closer. They just got a great rotation and your offense. Like, I mean, you could trust in Kyle Riley. You could trust in, if you want to, Luke Rayleigh. You know, they got Julio, but it's like he's been off and on, or he hasn't been consistent. I would say that Randy Rosarena, former Cardinal, hasn't been basically the guy to anchor that lineup either. You know, they got talent. It's just that, do they have, can they get whatever they got out of Victor Robles towards the end of the year last year? Yeah, like, if he's healthy, can he sustain and look like the guy that has so much potential with the Nationals? It's like, can he do that? Can this happen? I'm not trusting in it. They got Donovan Solano. They got players, but it's not anything, like, outside of Julio, anything that I am fearful of that lineup where I got to be like, oh, shit, there's a murderous role. They can't be consistent, but that pitcher staff is going to be nice. Yeah. And they got to go with the Hancock thing, they got Mastroboni.
There you go. I feel like they're low-end consistency, but a high enough win team that they'll be somewhere fighting in the middle. Mm-hmm. I'm not threatened by them. I'm not like, shit, Mariners are coming to town. Now, don't get me wrong. If their bats get hot and they on the streak, I'll be like, all right, I got to watch out for these motherfuckers because they might fuck me up. Not nothing more fearful than that. Like, to be quite honest with you, that's just my opinion on it. Maybe some other people might feel different. I feel like there's two other teams that we can talk about here that I'd probably be more fearful of.
Yeah.
And you know what? Let's talk about the other one with the A. And they're in H-Town. Okay.
Yeah, H-Town, baby.
So, the Astros, bro. This is what I'm going to say. Even though losing Bregman to me was a little bit of a hit.
Right.
I feel like they're still solid enough. You got Yordan.
Yeah. I love watching him hit. He's just big as hell and just smacks the fuck out of it. That's the G-rated way I could put it. Just, he looked big as hell and just hits the hell out of it. Like, that's what he does.
He just does his thing. You got Yordan, Christian Walker still in first. Paredes is there. Altuve is still in. Framber Valdez, he's still going to be pitching, relieving for
you. He's going to be the ace of that lineup. Yeah.
Hater is there. You know, he's coming out. He's coming out throwing heat. You have enough to be competitive there. I feel like you have enough to be competitive there for sure. I know some other people may hit or miss. Hey, that's on you.
My thing is that they just ain't what they were. So that's why I call them the Astros versus the Astros. Like, the thing about them is, like, they might not have the MVP caliber at MVP caliber Jose Altuve. They don't have Bregman anymore. They don't have Kyle Tucker anymore. They are missing some talent on that team. Granted, yes, they still got Yordan, still got Jose Peña. They still got the guys that – and they added Isaac Paredes and Christian Walker, who are going to be nice in that lineup. But it's just like, can you put it all together and basically win this whole division? That is the million-dollar question. Can you go through all these other teams that have at least decent talent to basically go ahead and win this division? I don't know yet. Because the thing about it is your rotation. Yes, you got Framber. You're basically saying Hunter Brown is going to be your next dude. You're going to still go King Luis Garcia, basically. Because I used to have that rock the baby, like, delivery. I used to love that shit. Now you don't have it anymore because of the pitch clock. And that's the only thing I hate about the pitch clock. They took that away from me. But, like, Christian Javier, you know, you got all these guys that have been around. But can you put it all together and win this division like you used to? Like, when you were those World Series teams, I don't know yet, and I can't really have a ton of confidence in that.
Okay, so right now, this is what I'm going to say. This division, to me, the AL West, is between these Astros, to me, this is my personal opinion, and the team that I'm about to go into, Walker, Texas Rangers. And here's my reason why. I don't find Seattle threatening. I don't.
No. No.
But I'm going to tell you who I do find threat. I find Jake Berger, Adolis Garcia,
Corey Seager. From the 3-1 foes, Jake Berger. Hell yeah.
I find Jacob DeGrom. I find, even though Josh Peterson is getting old, I find those dudes, Josh Jung, I find that whole line of threatening to me.
Yes, yes, absolutely. Yeah. They're Power Rangers, the Texas Power Rangers. That's what I label them, because they got every up and down their lineup. Adolis Garcia, Evan Carter, Wyatt Lankford, Corey Seager, Marcus Simeon.
Yeah.
Josh Jung. Like, they got power up and down. Nathan Eovaldi, still a power pitcher. You know, like, they got so much in this lineup. It's just that if you want to basically put your money in Jacob DeGrom, you might as well put your money in me, because you're wasting it. You are doing nothing with your time, with your money. Because think about it, is this buff, fool, I won't say fool's gold. Let me not say that. Let me not say he's fool's gold. I'm just saying he is fragile as hell. Fragile as shit. Does not finish seasons, except for like the Cy Young year. And I don't even know. I can't remember if he finished that season. Like, he is not that dude. If he could stay healthy, he is that dude. But they have gotten nothing out of him. As bad as basically another guy we didn't talk about, who's still on the Angels, Anthony Rendon, absolutely been a waste of a contract so far with Jacob DeGrom. Absolutely has.
Okay.
And it's not, and yes, injuries aren't his complete fault, but they are still the constant that is basically with him. And I think that is, I would basically say, if you're trying to basically have faith in something, have faith in Kumar Rocker. Let's see if he can actually basically be the dude that he was at Vanderbilt. Jake Leiter, same thing. Even though he had a rocky start. Nathan Eovaldi, can he basically come back up? Tyler Mahl, can he basically be the dude that kind of sinks into this line, sinks into this rotation and really takes hold somewhere where he basically is a standard and not somebody that's a throw-in? Cody Bradford started out well, got hurt. Like, can these guys basically do something in this rotation that basically we can hold up and complement this lineup, this powerful lineup? Can they do that? That's going to be the million-dollar question, because that's going to be basically the difference between them winning the West and them basically being second place to the Astros.
Okay, and I agree with everything you just said, but I feel like this, Rob, he's been injured, okay? He debuted today, okay? He threw a very good pair of innings. He got a couple strikeouts. He was cool. I think, personally, I know he's 36. You're saying, okay, he's getting old. He's been injury riddled. I'm going to say this. I feel like if you're going to win, you either need one of those other guys to kick in, or you need him to come out here and start 15 and win 12. At least 15 and win 12.
Something. You got to have him basically be. They're all hands on deck for that rotation, because they're going to be same way we were talking about the Orioles last week, where it's like, got to learn boat race, buddy. Like, you're going to basically be in a lot of 8-9 games. You know?
Yeah.
Like, you're going to have to, where you're going to have to be that 9, because that 8 is only doing as much as it can. You know?
But if we talking teams that can be in the boat race.
Yes.
They can be in the boat race, Rob.
Yes.
They can absolutely be in the true. Boat race.
Absolutely true.
They absolutely can true. Fight you and go get 10 runs in the game.
Yes. Yes. It's like they're the only ones that can really make that sustainable. But that's so unsustainable. That's the thing about it. It's like having that basically be the thing is going to be something that's like, you can't really do this. You can't really live off this. So you got to get something else. Maybe they go add another picture. Maybe they bring Scherzer back or something, if Scherzer's basically doing good with the Blue Jays. I don't know. But they going to have to add something to that rotation to basically be something when it comes down to it, when it's nut-cutting time.
You're right. But what I'm going to say is this. If there was a team that I'm going to – if there was a few teams that I'm going to say that they can fight you in the boat race. These motherfuckers, the Yankees, the Dodgers, for sure. Those three off top of my head, whenever I think of they're going to go out here and they can fight you 7-8 runs deep, it's them. Mm-hmm. Those are the first three coming to my mind, because I'm going to say, okay, you may think, because to me, the Rangers lost more games because of pitching than their ability to not score runs. They can score.
Absolutely.
We watched them score runs. They just couldn't pitch. And we saw, whenever it got to the World Series, it came down to who was going to put runs up on the board. and two of the biggest checkbook motherfuckers was the ones at the end with their checkbooks out and saying, look what my checkbook bought me. You see this? You see this? This is what my checkbook bought me. And goddamn it, the Magic Johnson and that
big ass TV
ownership
deal.
Yeah, that TV deal and that ownership team said, you want to see my checkbook? Whenever I stand on this bitch, I'm taller than you, the Statue of Liberty, because I got the championship. That's what they told the Yankees this year, and they already told the Yankees that even more this year by the acquisitions that they made, deferring Ohtani's money. They've showed you that if I stand on this checkbook, you're going to have the deal. And to me, the Rangers are the one team that I'm not saying that they don't have enough checkbook, but they have enough talent. They just need to figure out where in their checkbook they can find some pitching talent.
Yeah.
That's it. They find pitching talent, they come out, and we watch them fight with the rest of them. And we already saw that they can win one. They can get there. They can win one. Houston, goddamn. Those are the teams I'm more afraid of. Seattle, I haven't been afraid of Seattle since they were like Ichiro and winning 100 games and everything
It's been a very long time.
I'm sorry, dog. I know that y'all be like, he's discounting us in Seattle.
We will continue. As much as rain y'all get, we will continue basically counting you motherfuckers out.
This is what I'm going to say, Seattle. If Julio Rodriguez come out there and hit 50 home runs and drive in 120 RBIs and y'all pitching lineup is mostly wins and y'all hitting lineup becomes something greater than what it is, because I'm pretty sure whenever I say this, we're going to rate them hitting wise as meh, kind of average.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure that you'd be with me saying, yeah, they're average hitting. They're not great.
They're not. Yeah. They got a guy like if you know Julio hits basically 50 home runs with that stadium being what it is, he's damn near God. So we'll see if he can do that.
And that's the other thing. You play in a stadium that's made for pitchers. You should have a good pitching staff. This place is made for them. It's made to keep the runs low and try to be on base and make runs from contact hits, shots in the gap, stuff like that, and make your pitcher come out here. Hey, shut them down. Make them miss. And that's how you're supposed to win games in Seattle. That's what they did with goddamn Ichiro them. Shut down pitching, make runs through getting on base and getting home. I don't know why they went away from the formula. Or maybe they think that they got the formula. I don't know. But moving on. So, as I prompted y'all with my version of we gotta talk about the Wild Wild West. AL West. Okay. So AL West. There's so many things that I can say about the AL West.
In the Central.
Yeah, we're going to the AL Central now. AL Central, okay.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
In the words of the Boondocks, there are known unknowns and unknown unknowns, which means shit that we don't know that we don't know. And the first team I'm going to start with, that shit that we don't know that we don't know, is the Tigers. God, how did they get in last year?
Hot hands. Like they have grown in measure because they have seen the mountaintop and basically bear this fruit. And I say that they're oh my, like, are they oh my or are they oh man? Because the thing about it is, like, was this team a shot in the pan or a flash in the pan, or is this something enduring? I think it's more something enduring. Like, we talked about Tarik Skubal basically winning the Cy Young, being top pitcher on our all-contract year team. He's going to show out, because the thing about it is, A, they need him to. B, he wants that money. He's young. He basically, he's got the superlatives. He basically led that team to the mountaintop along with Kerry Carpenter. Like, they have talent. Do they have 162 games of talent where they have to go through? Two of the teams that we're going to talk about, the Royals and the Guardians. When they have to basically go against those two powerhouses, what are they going to do? And that's what's going to be the true test. Are they going to basically, you know, get the lemon booty and basically squander their, you know, their good fortune, or are they basically gonna say, hey, we're here now, y'all gotta be scared of us? You know, they got some talent, like I said, they got talent. It's just what they gonna do with it.
Okay, you thinking that they're going to endure? Okay, they have.
I say yeah.
So they have talent. Cold Keith, he's nice. Jace Jung, he's there. I don't have any more, like, though, Javier Baez, bro, it was a time.
Oh my God, I thought he was gone.
It was a time where I was like, they might be able to strap the rocket ship to the dude, especially whenever he was in Chicago.
Yeah.
And now it's $20 million.
For 200 strikeouts a season, damn it. Seems like that man strikes out every time. Like, worse than the worst dude that you know that basically is trying to pick up a girl out of his league. Man strikes out so much. He has the confidence, not really getting much defensively either. I thought they released him. I was so shocked when I saw him still on the Tigers. I was like, how? How?
But that's what kills me. Like I said, $20 million for what?
Yeah, and I want to say they just got Gleyber Torres. So, like, They don't need him in any sort of way. Like, I don't know why he's still there. Maybe he's got squatter's rights. Like, maybe it's just like, hey, you can't move me because I don't want to be moved. Like, because I don't know. I mean, he's still going to play shortstop. Like, yeah, I don't know.
But that's the thing, though. Like you said, so Jace and Colt both played third. He plays shortstop. I don't want him at shortstop if I got Gleyber Torres.
Because I think they're just like Gleyber Torres. Because I want to say Gleyber Torres was a shortstop coming up, but he moved to second because of Javi Baez or the prospect of Javi Baez and like whatever they had at the Yankees. I can't remember what it was, but I want to say he was a shortstop by nature. And I think they just basically got him out of it. I can't remember. Or something. Whatever.
Look.
But yeah.
At this point, in my opinion, Gleyber is younger than Javi. To me, he's defensively better. Okay.
Right.
He's a bat that I feel like can produce more than him at this point.
Right.
We're talking about a guy who's like 27, 28 versus a guy who's 32. I know it don't sound far off. Javier Baez ain't been Javier Baez since he was
in Chicago. Very long time.
I don't want him there unless you think. Let me see something. Gleyber played 154 games last year.
Mm.
I'm taking Gleyber in that spot though. Like I,
especially if you're saying like, hey, I got Colt Keith right here. I got, you know, like Colt Keith. I think is because I think they're gonna want to play Jace Jung at third. Like sooner or later, gonna call him up and he's gonna probably be at third. So if you're basically saying like, okay, I'm gonna have Colt Keith out here and Jace Jung. Then I gotta move Gleyber Torres to shortstop, or basically I gotta interchange these two motherfuckers. It's like, do I really want to do that? No.
Give me the guy who's batting 257, 15 homer, 63 RBIs last year. He had 151 hits, though. He played 154 games and had 151 hits. That's almost a hit a game. I'll take that right now. I'll take that. I'll work with that. Like, damn, all of the other bullshit. But I know that you were ready for this one. And I'm going to go back to the bad news, bro.
I don't want to spend too much time on them. Like, they're a leprosy colony. Like, they're just falling apart. We have to see them falling apart because they have to be traveling around. Old Comiskey Park, old as hell. Their team is not old as hell, but just not good as hell. Like, it's just they.
And just for the audience to know. The bad news bros is what Rob likes to call the White Sox.
They are absolutely the bad news bros. Like, they have nothing really on that team. If you go out and you smell a distinct, pungent aroma, it's basically what's coming out of the south side of Chicago. Like, they stink. And so don't worry about them. Just try to recycle, do what you can for the environment because they're not. They need Captain Planet more than they need us who watch them. So just don't stinky.
Yeah. It's one of those things though that I feel like this. The White Sox.
They
Yeah. It's like, what do you do? it's literally, what do you do with that team? Like, I don't know what you, like.
You want to know what you do? You go to Comiskey Park. You take a 2x4 and some nails and a hammer. Right. You go to the nearest door. You bang that 2x4, the nails into that 2x4 onto the door. And then you write condemned on it. And then you walk away. Walk as far as you can away from that stadium. Just don't even look back. Okay? Just don't. Don't do anything. That team is almost poltergeist-like haunted. Don't even worry about that. They got some people. You don't need to worry about them. They traded away everybody except for Luis Robert, who is there because somebody has to be left in the wreckage, brother. Like, it's the thing about that team. Like, they
And I stink. Thought he was going to end up in Boston.
We thought he was going to end up not there, but that motherfucker, for by hook or crook, is there. And I think part of it is because he has a bad injury history, and he can't stay healthy. But yeah, they got a lot of just cats that been on the benches of other teams. Like, the only starter that I could be like, okay, he was consistently starting there is Andrew Vaughn, because he's been there for forever. Like, I want to say he was like the heir apparent to Konerko or some shit. Like, they don't have nothing. You guys do not need to worry about this team. They stink, okay? Stink. Stinky. Stink. Yeah.
That is horrible for them, though. It's very, very, very bad. Now, we touched the Tigers. We touched the White Sox. We're going to lift you guys' spirits a little bit. Well, you know what? Before we lift your spirits, now, Minnesota Twins. 182 games last year, 82-80.
They sure did.
Y'all did what Twins do. Mm-hmm. I don't know where you go with this team. Royce Lewis, Byron Buxton's there. Carlos Carrillo's there. Harrison Bader, he's there, center field. Rob, this is a team, I don't know. Do you try to add to this and see if we can get better? Do you break this down and part it out? Do you?
So,
I don't know.
So, like, I feel like they're conjoined to mediocrity. So, you could kind of just wait it on by and hope that some other teams just get worse. But I think the thing with them is they got Walter Jenkins, who's like the number three prospect in baseball. He looks the part. Like, looks like Paul Bunyan kind of dude. They still got Pablo Lopez, got Joe Ryan. I mean, who was I thinking about? Yeah, Joe Ryan. They got guys that basically have been doing things. Johan Duran. Like, they got dudes. It's just that they just ain't got the dudes that you name in particular. Royce Lewis, Carlos Correa, Byron Buxton. Frick, frack, and frunk of injury history. Like, they just cannot stay healthy. A-plus talent, A-plus injuries. They just cannot stay healthy. They're not durable, and that's what's part of the problem of why this team can't really do much. They just cannot stay healthy. If they could do that, maybe if you add somebody, maybe you add some folks, or just add Walter Jenkins, you might be all right. But they just ain't got nobody right now, and that's really it.
But are you just gonna add Walter Jenkins and just hope that we either stay?
Call it a day, because you have stars. They're just not durable. Like, they can't stay healthy. They're out for long stretches of time. I don't know if you go, like, Royce Lewis could be the best third baseman in baseball. He just cannot stay healthy. Like, that's the thing. You get flashes. It's the same thing with Buxton. Like, flashes and lights and everything, but you don't really see that because it just gets hurt and then it's out for 2 months. Like, that's the thing about them. But they have the talent. They just cannot get out of their own way when it comes to durability.
Yeah. That's a question mark team to me. Whenever I look at them, they're just a question mark team. It's like you're set in being mediocre and just, what do I do? Because if you were healthy and winning more, I'd be like, all right, the Twins are on the uptick. Buxton is healthy. Royce is healthy. They're winning. They're doing their thing. I'd say because they won 82 games. He played 100 last year. If he plays, I don't know, 50 of them 62. Could they win 90 games? Maybe. Maybe they win 90
Maybe.
Games. Maybe.
Then you get to the playoffs, and if he ain't there, then they won't do much of anything because they don't have that.
Yeah. Yeah. But that, and I think that's what it hinges on. Can we get 150 plus playoffs out of him? I think if you can get 150 plus playoffs out of him and Royce, you might be a 90, 92, 92 win team. 92 wins. Let's see. 92 wins last year. Where did that put us last year? 92 wins puts you in the playoffs.
Yeah, but they're not a consistent 92 win team though. And yeah, the two teams that we're gonna talk about are two teams that basically they're gonna have to go against, and they don't really have that kind of firepower with what they have, with what they have.
And you know what? I'm gonna go ahead and transition to Sir Bobby Witt of the Royals. Kansas City. Bobby Witt and that Bobby Witt Jr. and that Kansas City Royals team.
Mm-hmm.
Seth Lugo pitching, Salvador Perez catching. That team, though, I want to say Hunter Renfrow got a shot in my two.
Mm-hmm.
That team did way more than I think that we thought that they might do last year.
They surprised. I think they surprised everybody. Cole Reagans was, Seth Lugo was absolutely phenomenal. Basically got to the All-Star game and nobody really saw that coming.
Yeah, like, I don't think anybody.
But yeah, Bobby Witt is a perennial MVP candidate. He is arguably the best player in all of baseball. You can make a great argument that he is the best overall player in baseball. I mean, granted, you got Judge, you got other players like that, but he is phenomenal. Just so damn good in so many ways. He's the guy that you like, okay, this is who my kid gonna watch because he is so damn good. But the addition of Jonathan India, I mean, he's had his injury history too. But like, I think that's going to keep this team as far as where they were, you know, as a playoff team. Especially they got, you know, Lucas Urquig. I think that's how you say his name. Carlos Estevez. They got some guys that basically you can be like, okay, we can ride on this, you know, pause. And like, we can basically do well with this team as far as when it comes to playoff time.
Yeah. And the thing that I like about Bobby Witt Jr. is he even gives nods to, like, his fellow, like, MLB players. Like, he shouted out Judge and was like, Judge kind of was disrespected. But I feel like he was kind of disrespected because he...
Well, he brought God-like talent demigod talent to a God-like event. And that's when it comes to, like, Judge was just like, he wasn't going to lose it. But, and if Judge did exist, Bobby Witt Jr. would be the clear MVP last year. Last year.
That's a great point. But to me, Bobby Witt Jr. still had a phenomenal season. Hit 332, 32 absolutely. Home runs, 109 RBIs. He finished with 211 hits. The guy played great last year.
I want to say he was at or near a 40-40 season or something like that. Like, something, like, crazy. It was just Aaron Judge was better.
Like I said, a lot of people had great seasons last year. We said this. It was a lot of great seasons last year in baseball. And it's one of those things. I think if you look at last year, it goes to some of the other years in baseball where we look at it's this guy who went 50-50 and then this other guy in New York who had a phenomenal season. They clashed it out. Their teams clashed it out at the end. But then along the way, you had guys like Bobby Witt Jr. who was there in the wake of everything where if these two don't do this, he's probably the guy that we talk.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's like, damn, it's like that happened. And it's a lot of cats who had great seasons. It's a lot of cats who had a great season last year. But we couldn't talk about, well, I'm not even going to say we couldn't talk about it. We touched on it. But in the end, it came down to these two dudes. You had a guy who is now the only guy in the 50-50 club. And it's like, he made his own club. He was in the 40-40 and he pulled the prince. He said, this stinks. You know, I'm going to go bail with my own 50-50 club. And somebody laughed at him like Charlie Murphy did in the skit. And then he went out there and he schooled everybody and he went and built his own 50-50 club. Bam. And that's all it is to it. So what do you say to that? It's like, yeah, Bobby Witt, you hit 32 home runs, 109 RBIs, hit 330. But that guy over there, 50-50.
You know who had a great season that basically we didn't really talk about as much and who basically almost had a 40-40-40 season last year, the team that we're going to talk about next, the Cleveland Guardians. Jose Ramirez almost like 39 home runs, 39 doubles, 41 stolen bases. He legit almost had a 40-40-40 season. I can't remember how many there have been, but it's like that would have been fucking crazy. So he had 40 doubles. Like, he was one off for the home runs and the doubles, but 40 home runs, 40 doubles, 40 stolen bases. That's crazy. And he's been doing this every year. And he's a guy that's always overlooked. He always has like 100 RBIs somewhere or another. Like last year at 118. The year before, it looks like he was, you know, maybe, well, no, just an off year. He only had 80, 126, 103. Like, the guy usually has like plus RBI numbers. He's a hitting machine. Like, absolutely been the best player on that team that has some good players. Like, I like Lane Thomas still. You know, he's not, I think he's still going to be great. They got the guitar player, Carlos Santana, back. You know, like, back, the prodigal son has come home. Shane Bieber is going to be coming back after Tommy John year. Tristan McKenzie, my brother, hopefully you do. You write your ship. I'm rooting for you. But, like, this team, can they be the guys? Can they be the creme de la creme of the AL? Of the American League, because that's where they are. They're not a, will they do it in the Central? They were in the ALCS last year, and basically, yes, if the Yankees didn't really get hot, Stanton and Judge and all them, this team might have been in the World Series against the Dodgers, which would have been crazy because you would have had Jackie Robinson's team versus Larry Doby's team, which that would have been dope. But it's to the point of, you have all this talent, can you put it together for 162 games and then throughout the playoffs to become a World Series contender once again, just like you did in 2016? Can you pull it together? I don't know with this rotation. They have a lot of talent, like I said, in that lineup. They got the best closer in all of baseball, Emmanuel Clase. They got a really good bullpen. But can your rotation do your thing and basically keep you in these games? Because your offense will be able to do it, but will you be able to do it on the mound? That's going to be the biggest question.
So this is what I'm going to say, Rob. I think that they'll be able to do it, and I'm going to tell you why. We watched the Yankees take a hit to their prideful, we got a big checkbook, whenever Juan Soto walked away. We just covered this on the last one. They took a hit, and they're hoping that the collective players that they got can fill in the gap for Juan Soto. And none of us are sure. There were people in the comment section even saying, if Jazz is healthy next year, he'll take a discount to stay there. But then I wanted to go back and respond to you, person, and I hope that I make this a clip. Even if Jazz was to take a pay cut, you still need him to be healthy after that.
Mm-hmm.
That's the issue. Yep. And we all know that whenever it's not impossible to be a healthy person after you've been unhealthy. Kind of improbable at times, though, because people still have problems and they go through this. Mm-hmm. We've watched people have healthy spurts and then they fall back in. Now, the question is, can he get healthy, stay healthy? But I feel like this. I feel like if Jazz stays healthy, he's going to look to hit you where it hurts because he's going to say, let me get my money.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I don't
think he's going to take that discount. He's going to say, let me get that money, bro. Let me get that
break
money.
It off. Break me off some.
Yeah. He going to hit you. You got to break him off some. He going to hit you with that, and he going to say, I played 150 games, dog. I need my money. And then he might go back to being hurt after that. Now, it's all up to you. I'm not saying it's 100% sure he's going to go back to being hurt. But if I was a betting man, There you go. If he wasn't an injury-ridden person, I'd be like, all right, dog, he could do it for you.
He's that dude. He's a star. If he doesn't have the injury history, he's a star. But it's just those injuries. He's here, and then he's gone.
And that's why I say teams like Cleveland have a great shot, because the Yankees got a ball of Judge is getting old. And then we need the collective to come together. I'm not saying that they're not going to be there, because I think Judge is going to show up. Judge is going to be judged. But I think it's everybody else. We need everybody else to be a person. And that's where I feel like we're going wrong. You need Judge to be that guy. Oh, damn. Oh, no, I was looking at something. But you have one of those things where I feel like you're going to need to, like, take care of the team. The teams have to take care of themselves. Players have to take care of themselves. Cleveland takes care of themselves. That's why they're in there. I think Cleveland could do it again? Hell yeah, Rob.
I think that they're going to win that division. I think they're the class of that division. Who has good? Like I said, the Royals are good. Tigers gonna be something, but yeah, I would pick the Guardians. Which we are gonna pick our teams, probably next week, just because we're gonna be rounding out talking about the NL Central and the NL West, the two divisions that I love talking about so much.
Yeah, it's gonna be one of those things where whenever we get to everything else, those The rest of this is going to fall in place. It will. But moving on from, I'll preview that. We know that a lot of you guys watch WWE. We watch WWE. And us watching WWE and loving WWE is something that we have to talk about.
I was so loving it. And granted, this is a person that really didn't want John Cena to turn heel. Didn't think he was going to turn heel. But the inklings were there. And here's the inkling that I don't know if anybody picked up on. When Seth Rollins basically did the curb stomp to CM Punk to the floor of the Elimination Chamber, and John Cena pulled him back in the ring, did a very heel move to basically get the W. That should have been our biggest. So I remember my then girlfriend, now wife, she would talk about, she was in this class in college, and one of her classmates was basically like, she's from Germany, and she knew that Darth Vader was. As he said, all of them knew that Darth Vader was Luke Skywalker's father the whole time. Main reason being, Darth in German is dark, and Vader is father. So she was like, dark father. It was a precursor, us not knowing that that's what it was. But so that was Cena's Darth Vader moment. It was a, hey, I'm going to do bad stuff because this is a bad thing bad people do. And he did it. And he won, and everybody still cheered. We all knew, and nobody said it. Nobody thought it. It was just like, oh my God, this man actually did it. The other thing that I loved about it, this is a well-kept secret. Like, nobody knew. Nobody had a clue that John Cena was basically going to turn heel. It wasn't like, oh man, it might be the time. It might be it. This might be it, dog. It might be it. No, we didn't know. That's what I love. I love being surprised. I've been watching wrestling for damn near 30 years. I don't get surprised anymore, dog. The flair ain't there. I don't mean the flair, Ric Flair, but like the magic, the fireworks. Sometimes it ain't there. But when it's there, when that kind of moment happens, I love it. It makes it warm. Absolutely
yes, warm. Yes, it does. Look, they have to take advantage of this. Do you know what I saw, though? I saw a little kid. Now, I'm not going to lie. It hurt me to watch some of the little kids, but I saw a kid with like every Cena action figure. And he was like throwing them down the stairs. He was throwing them down the stairs. And I was like, dog. I was like,
that's what you need, though. That feeling of it. Like the feeling of, I used to love you. Now you on my nerves. That's what John Cena did. He broke hearts. We haven't had too many heartbreakers. Like, now granted, you had the kids crying because Roman Reigns won against Cody or whatever. Like, you had all this. Like, but this was a heartbreaker. This was, oh my God, my hero is gone. He was doing Make-A-Wish before that, like the day of. He was doing Make-A-Wish things, and they were asking him questions. Give him the 17. I was vehemently against. I wasn't that heartbroken, but I wanted him to stay at 16, and here's why. Because the thing is, the record for, we talk about this, Ric Flair 16 times. He won two WWF titles. All those other ones were NWA. WWF seceded from the NWA a long time. So to count them all in one is kind of weird to me. Two, I think the record, I know it's been like, it might be, I heard it basically might be 20-1, which Cena's not going to get to there. Cena basically has won the most WWE titles that ever. He won the World Heavyweight Championship twice, but essentially that's still 14 times, which is more than basically Ric Flair has won it. So I didn't really care if basically Cena got to 16, because I feel like he's already got the record, and he's my GOAT, even with what he did. But after what he did, I'm like, you know what? Let him beat Cody. Because now we're going to basically get goofy. Because that's what we seeming like we just going to do. We're going to get goofy for the next, like, till the end of the year. Until basically CM Punk basically wins the world title from John Cena or something.
So I'll say this. Let him get 17. Let him go out. If he's going to give it up to somebody and he's going to go out on his bag and pass to somebody, let him go out with him having it first. Let him hit 17. Just strap strap the booster rockets to everybody. Strap. They already had the rocket strapped to him one time. Strap the booster rockets to him. Let's go.
You got your formula. What made the bloodline great, you got your seminal formula that basically people are going to come in and tune in for. John Cena, what is he going to do? And I'm one of them. I want to see what John Cena is going to do. Because I thought they was going to have John Cena in the middle of the ring, standing like this, and then basically walking off like he did at the press conference. I want to see it. I'm ready for it. Give it to me now, WWE. Give it to me now.
Just look, everybody's looking for this, and we love it. Because like you said, it was one of the best kept secrets. Nobody thought that he would ever turn heel. And on top of that, the thing is, he had talked about this one time, and I want to say it was with Chris Van Fleet, where he said, I had a tire, I had everything ready to go whenever I wanted to do heel turn, and they told me no, and this, that, and the third.
Yep.
And that's true. Whenever he, and I'm going to be honest, a lot of people listen to Chris Van Fleet, and whenever he said it, Chris Van Vliet, I know
that's how I said Van Fleet. V-I-L-E-T. He's like V-I-L-E-T. That's how I'm following
me. But he, whenever he said, they had went away from it, I was like, Cena never be healed. And that's the thought that I put in my head forever. I was like, whenever he goes out, he's going to go out being a baby face. I don't know what he's going to do, but he's going to go out being a baby face, and he's going to go out in a fair match and this, that, and the third. And that's it. And I don't know if they, the only thing that they could do now, if they really wanted to mind fuck me, is have his turn and then have him turn back at some point and like hit me with the old Venezuelan crossover. I was heel and now I'm babyface, and then I'm gonna go out babyface. I might go back out here. That's the only thing left that they can do.
You know what I want? I want John Cena to win King of the Ring. I want him to be the King of the Ring, and I want him to basically be King Cena, because he hasn't won King of the Ring, and that would be something that basically they could do. You know, I don't know how much he wants to work. I mean, he might just be like, look, this is going to be my last time doing this outside of probably special appearances for the next forever. But it might be where it's like he can win the King of the Ring and it'd be fine. I want him to actually win King, because I just thought about it like 2 seconds ago. And I'm like, you know what? I want him to be King Cena. And I want him to be King Cena that goes out on his back. That would be perfect, because he's already been like the guy that people anointed as the dude, as the god. Like, make him King Cena. Make him royalty. Have him go out on his back.
I could imagine Cena doing a suit and shirt type thing, kind of like a la Bobby Lashley, because, you know, he's swole like that, and being King Cena with the belt and saying, you know what, I never did this. I won this. I'm going to show y'all how this should be run. I am now royalty. Yeah, I could see it happen. I could work with it.
Make it happen, WWE. Make it.
Just make it happen.
Do it. Make it
happen. King Cena, make it happen. Make it happen, King Cena. We love it. Now, from WWE to WNBA.
All right, look at that transition.
So, are other WNBA players as about it as Angel Reese?
And that's, so if, let me pull up the quote, because she basically just came on and she was talking about, basically she was like, hey, we have demands. We're going to basically sit out if our labor agreement is not going to be met. So let me give y'all the actual quote. If y'all don't give us what we want, we sitting out. She said this on her podcast. So if you want to go to Angel Reese's podcast, I think it's Angel's Place, or no, unapologetically Angel, or Angel Reese Show. She basically said that she, you know, she's like, hey, the CBA is coming up and y'all need to basically give us the money we owe. Now, what I would say is this, she just got there, and I'm not saying that against her. I'm not saying that she can't speak out in those kind of ways, but it's like, she just got there. And I don't know. I mean, all the other players want to be paid, but I don't know if they all want to go strike. Cause the thing about the CBA is the WNBA CBA is tied into the NBA CBA. So when you basically saw that the NBA signed up for like $12 billion or whatever it is, The WNBA got a double of their distribution of what they got years prior, but it's the fact of the matter of, because of the subsidies and all the boring shit, like, they basically are a part, they're a member of the NBA's CBA. So the NBA has the authority, the right to basically say whatever they're going to distribute to this league. Now, there was talk about the WNBA going out and getting their own deal and getting their own TV deals as part of their own collective bargaining agreement. If that's something that they want to do, a bold strategy, Cotton, hopefully it works out. I can't say that they're going to get their money, the money that they look for, because I'm not a money dude. I don't know. I can't say for sure. Do they have a better possibility than they'd had, say, maybe 3 or 4 years ago? Yes. You know, this is the time that basically they have stars. They got more stars coming in when you got Paige, Flauje, Hannah Hidalgo, true killers that basically can boast this league up. You have Cameron Brink coming back, Angel Reese, Caitlin Clark, all these different players. You still got Asia Stewart, who basically is one of the, I would say, even though she's been on more commercials, not enough. Like, she has to be out there more. Like, she's an absolute star. But the thing about it is, like, if they're going to get their money, it's going to get it. They're going to either have to get it through the NBA, or they're basically going to go out and do it on their own. That says players opt out. Let's see. The NBA players opted out of the current CBA, which is set to expire. Okay, so it looks like they might have actually done it. So even though I just said that shit. But either way, what they're going to do, I don't know. They've been, you know, everybody's going to basically say, hey, they've been losing money, which is true. They haven't been in the black yet. But fact of the matter is, they do have stars coming up. Cynthia Miller, Reggie Miller.
I don't remember the name.
And this is bad because she is better than Reggie. So I don't know why, basically, I got caught up. I'm not good with names today. Cheryl Miller. Well, I don't know why I didn't think of Cheryl Miller.
I'm about scored to say Cheryl points. Miller is his sister.
Yeah, like I said, better than Reggie. But like, Cheryl Miller already basically said, like, hey, give these women what they owe. Hopefully y'all get y'all money, but like I said, I can't really say with confidence that that's going to happen. And I don't know how many of the other players within the WNBA are as about it as Angel Reese. So we're going to see as time goes on, as time, you know, goes on with this. But I don't know how they felt about her saying that.
Here's the problem that I see with her saying what she's saying and not thinking about what she's saying. Angel Reese probably makes more money, which I think she's been on record saying she makes more money from podcasting and everything outside of her NBA, her WNBA contract. Not everybody got that, though.
No, not even remotely.
You can't say what you're going to do and you just got there, because on your money is different from some of the other women's money. It ain't like y'all each making $1 million and some people may have money stored away. It's a lot of these chicks making $100,000 or less.
Yeah. Okay.
So you can't do, you could say it for you, but it may not be the same for the other ones. And here's what I'm going to say. They're looking at all of the stuff that they make or what they make and what they don't make. And I understand they want the percentages of what they see NBA players getting. The problem is y'all don't draw enough money. If you drew enough money, if they were withholding money from y'all, right? I could see your argument, okay? But the numbers are there to show you're not making what they're making.
Yeah.
They're making like $9 billion in a season. This is what they're grossing. Y'all are grossing millions, not billions. Yeah, y'all not in the black, but y'all aren't nowhere near what they are. And I'ma always point to this. I feel like y'all screwed yourself whenever y'all went against what Caitlin Clark was, because that showed a lack of unity. To me, it showed a lack of unity.
Niggas
feel like it is.
I don't know, because the thing is, like, if they basically made her the Great White Hope, that probably basically would take away from the fans that were already there, that basically was watching the sport and doing all that. Them basically saying that they, I guess, like, you know, Kennedy Carter, what she did, and, like, some of the other stuff that happened, that more bolstered Caitlin Clark than anything. Like that, if they basically embrace her, say, this is our queen. This is our everything. This is like, she will get all the magic and majesty and all this kind of shit. It probably wouldn't have failed on, it probably would have fell on deaf ears with the fans that were already there and the people that basically were only using, because the people that basically, the people that were Caitlin Clark fans were bots. Or not bots, let me never say that. They were losers. They were basically people that, you know, like were just people that just there to say, hey, I'm going to cheer on that white woman against all these black women because I hate black women and I don't like, and I'm going to do this. And they couldn't tell you a goddamn thing what Caitlin Clark did, dog. Like they were just rabble rousers. They were niggas that just there to basically stir shit. And I ain't saying that the people like for Angel Reese are the exact same way or aren't the exact same way. But the thing about it is, it's the point of the matter of this ain't. The people that embrace Caitlin Clark are the people that basically would have embraced Caitlin Clark all the time. Same thing with Andrew Reed. Same thing was going to be with Paige. Same thing was going to be with all these other women that's going to be in this league. The fact of the matter is, yes, they're on the rise. Like, this is the most they had star power, like, straight up star power in, like, 20 years. Like, where you basically, you have all these women that are household names damn near. Where you got Andrew Reed, Caitlin Clark, Asia Stewart. Like, all these different women that are doing the damn thing, like they do an unrivaled league, and that's been great too. All these women are basically getting more and more. It's steady, but it's the one thing that is like, if they're looking for, yes, the same distribution that the NBA players are getting, which is like more 55, 45, or like 50-50, something in that range. Whereas the WNBA, I think is like 70-30, something like that. If they're looking for something like that, good luck. Because, yes, I don't have it yet. But the thing about it is, it should be coming. But that's the thing about the word should. I can't really say for guarantee that this is money is going to be there. And y'all going to get y'all distribution that y'all rightfully deserve.
So, yeah, look, this is what I say, BNB. I grant y'all the best wishes on finding you a deal that's going to net you more money. But you got to take baby steps on the amount of money that you looking to get back. They didn't build Rome in a day. And I know that you're saying, but it's the new age, it's the internet. They can make it happen. Yes and no. Because your sport is still it's growing.
It's getting there.
You got to let it finish maturing a little bit, you know?
Yeah.
Let the fans come, you know? Feel the dreams. You got to feel the dreams right now. If you build it, they'll come. Okay? That's what they gotta do, Rob. You gotta feel the dreams. And if you build it, they'll come. You can't do what you've been doing. You can't go out and say, I want that.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, it's gonna happen, but we'll see. But other things that happened in the NBA, guys. I don't know if you heard about this, but a great guy who may or may not win the MVP this year. With 30, 20, and 20.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm going to say it one more time. 30, 20,
mm-hmm.
20. 30 yep. points, 30, 20, 30 points, 20 rebounds, 20 assists.
Mm-hmm.
Never happened. Never has been done until last night.
Let them know what they
fucking
got.
Fucking crazy. Oh, my God. Like, I can't even fathom that. I heard, I saw something on Blue Sky that said Nikola Jokic had, like, he had more assists than 20 teams or than three teams last night.
Yep.
Like he out assisted three teams by himself.
Yep.
That's Jokic's crazy.
Jokic is that dude. Dude. No.
But my thing is, did you know about it? Are we the first people that's telling you about it? Because the thing about it is they're on that, you know, I mean, they're in the mountain time zone, but it's like they're on that western side of the United States. Do you care that this motherfucker did this? That's what I want to know from y'all. Do you care? Like, you sitting right there. Do you care? We might make this a poll question. Do you care 30, 20, 20 happened? Because it was like that old saying, you know, if a tree falls in the forest, does it make a sound? That motherfucker with 30, 20, and 20, did he make a sound to you? Did you basically get up and be like, oh, shit, I need to tell everybody. I need to alert the authorities because there has been a great happening in my life. Like, duh, I don't know. But it seems like we've gotten bored with him. And I mean, it's not that we've gotten bored. We've been bored with him. It's just that
this is what I'm going to say. Some people may be bored, but I'm not bored. That 30-20-20 tree that fell in my forest last night, I told people.
Like, you have to.
I made sure to tell as many people as possible. I was like, hey, dog, there was a tree that fell, and that bitch went for 30, 20, and 20. I told everybody, bro. I didn't give a damn. I said, I said the tree went 30, 20, 20, dog. It was dishing out dimes from the post, from up top. It was running the offense. I was like, damn. I was like, that's a hell of a tree right there. Is that a redwood?
Hey, look at that motherfucker right there. Look at that. What is he doing? Look at that thud. Look at that.
Yeah, and dog, he may not get MVP, but I'll shout Gilbert Arenas out for this. Gilbert Arenas said that Jokic was going to have a game that was going to make you think twice before you give SGA that award.
Yeah.
That was that game last night. It's like, that's never been done before. Damn, man.
Yeah. Like, SGA, dog, like, you might win it. And because I would say SGA has been a great leader for that team.
Yes.
But, dog, I don't know. I don't know.
Look, I know it's a lot of Embiid people who say Embiid was a better big man. I'm going to tell y'all this. Whenever Embiid is healthy, he was a better shot blocker than Jokic. Okay, for sure. He played better defense than Jokic. Embiid ain't never went 30, 20, and 20. Not a day in his
Not
life.
Not even close. Not even close.
And on top of that, I'm going to say this again, and Rob will agree with me.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever a person is available is the best thing that you can have on your team. And what is Embiid right. lacking? Availability, right?
Availability.
Now.
Very much. Very, very much.
So, 30, 20, and 20, and being available,
mm-hmm.
pretty solid candidate for a big man right now. I'm going to just say that. Right.
A wee bit.
Just a wee bit. Just a wee bit, you know, solid for being a big man. Now, it's a couple things that I want to unpack, and we're going to wind on the show. So, I'd like to unpack this Luka in AD trade a little bit more now that I've heard more. And shout out to Jeannie Buss for opening up her mouth on podcasts and to reporters to give us a better insight to this. Bro, you remember how AD would say he didn't want to play center, the Lakers needed a center? As petty as that shit sounded, because he didn't pay millions of dollars, that helped play a factor in this. AD didn't want to play center anymore, you know, and we're having a hard time. I was like, look, though, y'all had a center in Dwight Howard. Y'all didn't want to pay him. Y'all let him go. He could have been there. Okay, don't want to hit it. And I sat and I read and I was like, y'all were looking for y'all chance to make this move. I said, this was two sides to the same coin with Jeannie Buss and LeBron. And Nico Harris. They were both sitting on people that they didn't know what the hell they could do with. And they were the first coin to talk to each other, being heads on the same coin. And one head said to the other head, I don't want this motherfucker because I'm about to have to pay him $300 million. And I don't know if I want to do this.
That's true.
And the other side of the coin said, I got this motherfucker over here that don't want to play center, and he's injury prone at times, and I don't know if I want to keep him. And those two heads got to talking on that coin, and they said, look, I'm going to give you your problem, you give me that problem, all right? Because I think I could use your problem. And the other one said, you know what? I could use your problem, because I ain't going to have to pay him what you had to pay him. Because he going to lose that $100 million that he thought he was going to get extra. And he maybe might be able to get $200 million, but he ain't going to get that $300 million. Mm-hmm. So I can pay him some money, and I'll show him LeBron James is here. And we may not know how much time, but I'm going to show him what he could be part of a historic franchise here. And that's what they did. They took each other's problems, and they went out there and swapped problems. And they're trying to make the best of each other's problem.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you know what clip that made me even think of that, Rob? You ever saw the movie Heat?
A little bit.
Okay. So in Heat, there's a scene where it's Pacino and De Niro and they're sitting down. Mm-hmm. And De Niro's telling Pacino, It's guys like me that keep guys like you on your toes. I keep you active. I keep you moving. And Pacino and De Niro told him, whenever I spot the heat, there's nothing that I won't walk away from in 30 seconds and go the other wing. And that's what the hell Nico Harris did. Nico Harris saw that goddamn $300 million contract coming across the horizon, and he said, no. I will walk away from this shit.
Like, right?
And I will hand you my problem. You deal with it. Give me back him. I'll make him work. I'll give him Kyrie and the rest of it, and we'll try to make this work. And you know, who's suffering the most because he thought that he would have to have a resurgence here, and nobody's talking about him? Klay Thompson. Because Klay Thompson daddy got out there and said he thought that this was going to be better for him to get away and make some money. Yeah. And he could go to the finals with this team. And you know what happened? An ACL happened. And a pulled muscle for an AD happened.
Yeah. Abducted or whatever.
Even whenever AD come back. Yep. And now whenever AD come back from the abducting, you ain't got no more Kyrie.
Which I shut him down because of that. I just shut down AD. Be like, hey, just go ahead and rest up.
I would. I really would. I'd shut him down. I'd shut this down so quick. I'd be like, hey, dog, everybody who's playing right now, keep him in a rotation. Tell him we just going to finish the year like this. We'll finish the year. We'll wait for Kyrie to come back. Just rest everybody. Take this shit for next year. And it's amazing how this just happened. And let me tell you something. Brian Windhorst, I got a bone with you to pick. Because, see, you are one of the people that you like to write that tale of LeBron losing adds to his legacy. And we ain't had a person in history that whenever they lose, that we've said that this adds to their legacy.
Mm-hmm.
What the hell did you pull this shit from? Who made you like that?
Wow.
Is that just your fandom for LeBron that you say this? It had to be Rob. What person do you know that we talk about in history and we glorify him even more for losing?
For losing? No, I don't think anybody.
Exactly.
Like AI basically got glorified in a loss, but Not for losing.
We talk about Jerry West being the logo. He was 1-8.
That's true.
But we've never glorified him for losing. Never. Why are you saying that him losing adds to the glorification of his legacy? Why are you trying to write these tales? I don't want you to write these tales. I need you to stop this and get some help. Let's just speak the truth.
Just seek help.
And while I'm here and I'm speaking on LeBron, I'm going to give him some positivity. And I agree with you whenever you said that LeBron is the goat of longevity. Okay?
Well,
he has the longevity records, you know? And I appreciate that. And I appreciate watching LeBron and his magnificence for his longevity. Okay? Do I think that we'll see longevity again before we see another MJ? Yes. And I purely say that off of technology. I say that because of the benefits of them knowing how to take care of their bodies now. We'll weigh in and we'll see another guy play 20 healthy seasons before we'll see another Aaronis. Because every time we think that we see it, they're not there. They're not on that level. We're just not.
Yeah, I agree with that.
And before I go on to rant about my Pelicans, me and Rob got to talk about this. You know, LeBron, you made your son look worse.
Yes, you did. Like, you basically, like, he's a grown man. He's what, 20 years old now?
Yes.
I know that's not grown, but you know what I mean. He's an adult. He can basically fight his own fights. He doesn't need you to go at Stephen A. to say, stop talking about my son. Stop talking. No, because he's an NBA player. Bronny James is on an NBA contract. He signed his money. He's getting millions of dollars for basically being a two-way player, essentially. He can handle himself, okay? Now, granted, the man died, year before last? Like, he had the cardiac arrest. He's still recovering. He's still coming back. He's had good games with the G League. He's He's not an NBA player yet. He's a project, and I think he's a good project. And in about a couple years, I think he's going to be fine. He's going to be a decent to good NBA player. Like, not an all-star, not somebody that's going to be in the league about 10 years as somebody good. But it's still to the point of, dog, you don't have to come in and fight for your son, because he's a man. He can fight for himself. And you already know how this thing goes, man. You already know how the machine works. Going at Stephen A, I understand trying to, you know, throw a punch at the big dog, but oh, you already know how this thing goes. That's what gets your league to where y'all make billions of dollars while you not really playing all that much. Because niggas gonna be talking about stuff like this that is, I would say, mundane, but it's just a 40-year-old guy talking about his 20-year-old son to another, I don't even know how old Steve A, 50, 60-year-old man. Like, this is so basic, but you basically made it about yourself, like you've done with a lot of these other things. And I'm not saying that it's that bad, but it's just like, you basically made an awkward moment more awkward.
Stop doing that, though. You made him look even worse. It's already bad enough that you held the Lakers at pick point. I ain't gonna say gun point, but it pretty much was. You held them at pick point. Use this goddamn pick on my son, or I'm gonna leave. Whoever uses they pick to get my son is where I'm going. We already let you hold the league hostage with that move, okay? And people say it's nepotism, but we all would have did it for our kid, okay? We would have tried to get our kid in the league. It's just how far would you have gone? And right now, though, you're going a little bit too far. You're overstepping lines. Yeah, you wilding out, though. Don't do that to him, because he didn't disrespect your son. He spoke the truth on what's going on. And what I'll say is this. I looked at Kenyon Martin being a father one day, and it was a clip of him on Gil's Arena whenever he got the call that saying that his son was being, KJ was being traded, okay? He handled that and went and talked to his son, okay? Do you realize how much more of a spectacle that you've made your son? You've put your son in the dog and pony show of LeBron James, okay? You held the Lakers at pick point. This isn't like if he got picked or you let him get picked somewhere else and he went and organically started to grow and got better as a player. You literally told Jeannie, pick my son, goddammit. And she's like, okay, it's going to make you happy, LeBron. Which I'm not saying other teams don't do that, because the Nassus is in Milwaukee because of his brother. We already know, LeBron, that you had a hand in making sure that AD ass went out the door. We know this. We know that you had a hand in making sure your son got picked up by the Lakers. Everybody knows this, though. But what you fail to realize is you're making him look less of a man. They're saying, people are going to say, you thought that shit Anthony Edwards told him about taking a shower and shit, that you don't need to shower, was bad. You just made it worse for him. Because now you give motherfuckers like that ammunition to say, yo, daddy, I check capping for you to be on the floor now. And Anthony Edwards is a killer on the floor, okay?
Yeah.
You took the target that was 2 feet wide, and you just made it 20 feet wide now. Because now they know that they can shoot at him, and you gonna try to come defend. It looks bad for him, dog. Don't do that to him. Let him be his own man. Let him figure this out. You can help guide him, but don't make him more of a public spectacle. That's just it. Don't do it no more, bro. Anything you wanted to elaborate on that, Rob?
Nah, man, you hit all the points. Like, I ain't really got anything else to say about it.
Now, the last thing that I do want to say, though, before we get up out of here, for the love of everything spicy and gumbo and beignet written down there in New Orleans, tank, 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 damn it, tank. Do it now, tank. Cooper Flag is there, tank. I thought about it. I had a dream, bro, that it was beignets, gumbo, and I was sidelined to Cooper Flag, DeJounte Murray, and Zion Williams going ham in New Orleans and making a playoff run next year, team. I had a dream. Something like Martin Luther King, except it was a little bit spicy and had sweet shit in it. But I had this dream, though. I need New Orleans to tank. Look, there's a lot of people in San Antonio hoping that San Antonio falls into getting this Cooper Flag pick. And I'm here to throw beads and shit at y'all parade and say no. No. Mm. I want him in New Orleans, okay? I had a dream that I can trade CJ McCollum for something and have DeJounte Murray, 6'9" Cooper Flag running a 2/1 combo type shit. And then I can have Trey Murphy, Zion, and a pick of any center, Olynyk, Yives. Yives is nice. He's defensive. He's growing. And some other people. And I could make this happy. I can make this happen and make me happy. Now, I'm going to answer Rob's question that he left for me. How much tank is too tank? My brother, there's not enough tank for me to make this happen in New Orleans. And when I mean tank, if I was GM, I'm going to get Zion a personal trainer and a chef. And I'm shutting everybody down. Everybody down. I don't know what excuse I gotta make in New Orleans to make it happen, but everybody just had a hamstring injury. I don't care if I got 10 of them shits on the sideline right now, okay? They can talk about me all they want, but I'm here with it to say, hi, Price of Bruh Migos Podcast. If I was running an organization and wanted Cooper Flair, I'm tanking right now. I'm tanking.
See, but here's the thing, though, dog. It's a lottery. So, like, even if you're saying, like, hey, we're going for the ping pong balls, you got Charlotte, you got Washington, you got all these other teams that are sorry and ass, basically vying for the same spot you are. And I understand what, like, the reason why I was like, hey, how much do you tank? Because, you know, usually when it comes to tanking and, like, a lot of these, you know, things, it's like, how much do you give up? Do you give up Missy? Do you give up, you know, Trey Murphy? Like, do you, like, how much are you willing to part out? Because everybody, I don't think anybody really wants CJ like that, you know, not where you can basically get something meaningful, but like some of this young talent that y'all have building. I know Alvarado ain't like the best dude, but like, how much do you give up? Do you give up Zion? Do you basically say, hey, Charlotte, I'll give you Zion if you give me that pick? Like, whatever, whoever basically gets the number one pick gets Zion. You know, what if that's the possibility?
I'm not willing to give up Zion. But I'm willing to try to work with somebody to get this pick. See, I'd like to keep DeJounte. I'd like to keep Trey Murphy. And I'd like to keep DeJounte, Trey Murphy, and Zion for sure. Maybe, because Herb Jones is a nice 3-and-D guy, maybe I'm willing to part with Herb Jones. And I give CJ a little added. You take these two and give me that pick. Okay? And I'll work this out from there. And the reason is, though, I feel that if I had them, that I could make this happen. Mm-hmm. Cooper Flagg, I feel like, is a do-it-all guy. Yeah. And at 6'9" and a do-it-all guy, I feel like him and DeJounte up front, because DeJounte, to me, is a great defender. He gets steals. He can get buckets. Mm-hmm. If I can get that going, I can make a playoff. But I ain't saying I'm going to be top in the West. But I'm saying I'm gonna at least be playoff relevant, you know?
You're in position 1 through 10.
Yeah. You know, like, I'm hoping for an 8 seed, maybe a 7. You know, I could be better than some of the teams down there. I could make this happen. That's all I want, bro. That's all I want.
I got you.
Just for the love of New Orleans, dog. That's it. It's giving me a reason to be in the city, showing out with the jersey on and loving the atmosphere and everything turned up. Just let me head out. I just want them to let me head out, though. Just let me head out.
Let me live.
Just let me live, though. Just let me live. Just one time, right? The one time. That's all I want. The one time. Just let a brother live. Right? Just let a brother live. That's all I want to do. Now, with that being said, my please let me live. We're going to go ahead and wrap up the show for y'all. Always remember, if you need energy, we have Dubby. That's Dubby.gg is the website. Code Bruh Migos Pod will get you 10% off for that. We always love y'all. Like, share, subscribe, tell your people about us. Rob, take us out.
Good night, Canada. Good night, Taylor Swift. Think that's it. Damn. No, that's it. Held y'all too long. Let's hope y'all have a great weekend, great night, great evening, great all that. Daylight savings, spring forward, all that kind of good stuff.
Yeah.
Unless you live in Arizona or Indiana or something like that.
Yeah, something like that. But, you know, we love y'all and we out of here. Peace.
Thanks for checking out this episode of the Bromigos podcast. Make sure to like, comment, and subscribe so you never miss an episode.